This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. It's been a little while. Last time he was on my show was back in April of this year. We're talking about no other than Seafair Exploration Corp. You can find him on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol SFRX. And with us today is the president and CEO and chairman of the company, going to bring us up to speed, Mr. Kyle Kennedy. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Everett, thank you. I always enjoy coming and having you ask me questions and help me keep my shareholders informed what's going on. You're a big asset, actually, to our company, Everett. I'm very thankful for it.
Well, you know, it's been 6 months since you've been on the show. That being said, what has been going on for the last few months? If you could bring us up to date of what you guys have been doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, let me start with talking about our permits that we have. We have various permits. We have one with the Historical Division, with the Florida Bureau of Archaeology. We have one with the DEP, and we have one with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And back in July, near the end of July, the state asked us basically to realign our permits, because one of our permits was in our name with Seafarers Quest, and two of the permits was in our partner's name on the site with Heartland Treasure Quest. Basically, what's taking place is on the Melbourne Beach site, there's really three participants. There's the state, and then there's Heartland Treasure Quest, who created a subsidiary for us to work through MAP. But nonetheless, there's us. When we did our permit with the state of Florida, with the Florida Bureau of Archaeology, it was in the name of Seafarers Quest. The other two permits were in the name of Heartland Treasure Quest. And because those permits go from anywhere from 5 years to 10 years, we just continued to utilize those permits because they covered our area. Well, finally, one of the permits reached expiration in July. And so the state took that opportunity to say, hey, can you guys realign these permits so that all of the permits are for Seafarers Quest? So we first renewed the DEP permit, and that permit has been renewed, and it goes for 5 years, so it goes to 2025. And then at the same time, we have begun to change the name from Heartland Treasure Quest to Seafarers Quest for our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit. So all three permits will be in the same name. And that's basically what the state asked us to do. But the disappointing thing for us was when the state asked us to do this, they asked us not to disturb the bottom until this was completed, because the DEP permit had actually physically expired. And so we have been unable to investigate or dig any of the artifacts that we'd like to since July 24th. Ever for the last 2.5 months, we've not been digging up any artifacts. You know, now we, again, have completely renewed the DEP permit for 5 years. We're updating the core permit right now. Hopefully that won't take very much longer, because it's just basically a name change with a permit number change. But while we're doing this, we've been using the Sea Searcher, and the Sea Searcher is doing its job. It's doing what it's supposed to do. The only issue we have is we can't confirm any of the targets that it's showing us, because we can't dig them up yet. So we're encouraged by the targets, you know, that the Sea Searcher is seeing. We can't wait to prove, you know, to the world that this thing works.
You have a timeline on that, when you'd be able to actually go down there and start digging up the sand?
I don't, and I wish I did. And the reason I don't is, even though this is a simple change with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, it's a name change and it's a formality that we go through, the permit's good currently for another 5 years itself. But with this name change with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, several other people are working remotely. And it seems to me that it slows the process down on just making something.
Absolutely.
Simple.
Absolutely.
Hopefully not very much longer, Everett. Hopefully it's very short.
Last time you were on the show, we were finishing up a five-part series. And during that five-part series, we found out, at least I did and my listeners, that you have a lot of rocket scientists working for you. So that being said, have you guys developed any additional technologies during here in the last, say, 5 or 6 months?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that question because we have. We've developed several things, and we got several things to develop that we're thinking about. One of the things that we've used a lot is a hydroprobe, which is a pipe that has a camera in the bottom 2 inches of it, and it has water that flows down through the pipe, and it acts as a drill bit, and it allows us to drill a very small hole, a 2-inch hole, into the surface of the seabed, and actually go all the way down to our target and see our target in color. And we don't have to dig a big hole to go down and see that. So this hydroprobe is a really handy tool for us to go down and look at targets. Now, currently with the order that we've been given to not disturb the bottom, that would be considered disturbing the bottom. So we're not using the hydroprobe on that site in that area. But the other thing that we built is something we call the Sea Watcher. And one of the things that we do, Everett, is we go out in the morning and we look at the ocean conditions, because even though we have forecasts, those forecasts are wrong a good percentage of the time. Sometimes it says it's too rough, and it's not, and we can work that day. And so we've just made a habit of going out every day and checking the sea heights, the waves, et cetera. Well, we built something called the Sea Watcher, and it's really cool. And it sinks down into the sand, and every so often, as we program it to, it'll pop up. It'll give us visibility on the bottom, because a lot of times our visibility is near zero. It'll tell us multiple things about the water, the salinity, the temperature, if there's a thermocline that's in the area. And then it'll go to the surface and tell us the height and direction of both the waves and the swells. And that tells us right off the bat if we can go out there and work and what work we can do. And so we're developing different types of technology as we go along, all of it to make us more efficient at what we do.
Well, you know, you guys are mostly a treasure finding site kind of company with technologies beyond that. That being said, are there any additional treasure sites you guys are looking at currently?
Well, there are. One, we have the Juno Beach site, which we've had, you know, from day one pretty much. And we're about to send some divers down to swim the site to prepare it for the Sea Searcher, because we don't want any, you know, iron beams sticking out or a barge or something modern that's sunk that sticks out, that we might accidentally run the Sea Searcher into. Even though it has sonar and stuff to protect it, we like to visually inspect the site first. We're about to do that, and then we're going to run the Sea Searcher over it, because again, I feel that it's extremely accurate with identifying various kind of metals, and this will help us pinpoint on that site where we want to go. We also have a site that's further offshore that we found literally by accident, that we're about to take the Sea Searcher out there and look at it and see what lies beneath it. But one of the interesting things we found at this site was a certain type of rock. And you'll have to excuse me, I forget the name of it, but it's actually made from worm poop. These Torino worms will eat wood from these shipwrecks that wrecked. And as they eat the wood, they'll, of course, you know, poop it out. So it goes down and it actually hardens and turns into a rock that looks like a sort of ugly tile. And we found something that's about half inch thick. And it's like, wow, how much wood did they have to eat through to create this rock, you know? And how long has it been there? So this is an interesting site. We're going to run the Sea Searcher over it. And, you know, we're bringing out our second Sea Searcher this next week. So we'll have one that we could run inshore and one that we could run offshore, i.e. outside of 3 miles.
We actually have about 30 seconds left. And before I let you go, is there anything that you would like to stress to my listeners and your stockholders, something that we haven't touched upon that you would like to get that out in the next 20 seconds?
Yeah, that's the value. Our stock is down in here, and I don't feel that it's, one, going to stay here much longer. I think we're going to be successful. And I would encourage my shareholders, either one, to hold and wait for us to be successful, or two, actually physically buy it, because I just feel very, very confident here that we're doing the right things.
My guest today has been Kyle Kennedy. Their stock price is trading just a tad bit above a half a cent. Their market cap's a little bit over $28 million value there. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol SFRX. Kyle, I want to thank you for stopping by and coming on the show. Only thing I ask is you not wait 6 months to come back on. Hopefully you'll come back on in 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
I hope it's less than that, Everett. And thank you very much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.